Hoshana Tova, Tiki Tevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our bubbly teacher of eschatology, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom aleichem to all the listeners. And if you follow the Essene calendar, today and tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. But if you are using the current Hebrew calendar that they use in Israel, then Rosh Hashanah is next Tuesday and Wednesday. Many Christians on social media are expecting the rapture this year. And yes, we do all lean on that blessed hope.
But if not, we will continue on with even higher expectations for next year.
Oh, absolutely. Because honestly, most end-time teachers say it cannot be any later than next year. For the simple fact that he said in Hosea 6:2, as we talk about a lot, he'd be back in 2 days.
Meaning 2,000 years.
And he ascended in 32 A.D. or at the latest 33. And you minus 7 and it comes to 2025 or again at the latest 2026 in a Jubilee's first year. The Essene calendar says that the next and last Jubilee doesn't actually begin till 2026 in March at the spring equinox. However, the Bible in Leviticus 25 infers a Jubilee starts on a Yom Kippur in the seventh month, which I hold above all else. So the question is, did the Jubilee begin last year on Yom Kippur? Or will it be this year on Yom Kippur, which would mean next Rosh Hashanah for the rapture, still in the first year of the Jubilee? We really don't know for sure, just many signs it is very close. And this current UN meeting, will they declare and possibly sign an actual agreement for a two-state solution? If so, could that be the Daniel 9 treaty signed by many, since Israel's name is not mentioned? We can say, but we'll talk about that in more detail after we give God his due glory.
Oh, gracious and glorious Lord, we do hunger for your return, and just the mere thought of that magnificent event fills our hearts with overwhelming joy, unspeakable in its grandeur. Until that day, we will occupy till you come by continuing in your footsteps, knowing you are there to lift us up over the rocks, guiding our every step. We pray for the Charlie Kirk's family and his ministry to be even stronger, knowing you will turn our loss into revival, flourishing more than ever before. We continue to pray protection over Israel's soldiers, the release of the hostages, an end to the war in Ukraine. We pray that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
Well, we all mourn and feel the loss of Charlie Kirk's life.
Oh, we do. But not as those who have no hope, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We know he's with the Lord, so with that said, let's remember our own calling as ambassadors for Christ. You know, Charlie's voice was taken from him, but we still have ours. And to live as Christ's representatives, changed by God, conformed to Christ, and commissioned to make him known.
Yes, we are commissioned.
And as you prayed, may the Lord turn this tragedy into good.
You know, as we are already witnessing.
We have. Amen to that.
So, what's the latest on Israel?
Well, as we talked about last week, Israel attacked a Hamas compound in Qatar, but they are still not saying how many Hamas leaders were killed, while suggesting most were not.
Why?
Well, it is being said that the United States warned just minutes before to Qatar that an attack was coming. And all those Hamas leaders, some from other countries, were attending this meeting as well. So apparently, they had time to move out. Trump guaranteed no other attacks would happen to Qatar, but hopefully, he added, on the condition that Hamas left Qatar. Reports say they did.
So, the U.S. knew all along.
Well, most insist that Bibi would never do it without Trump's knowledge, and everyone knows that. So Hamas has fled who knows where, which is why Israel also made the statement that they would be hunted down no matter where they are. But regardless, to show face, Qatar is threatening some kind of revenge. And Saudi Arabia and the IAEA have condemned the attack while expressing condolences and solidarity to Qatar.
But behind the scenes, you know, I doubt they were sad.
Right. For the Sunnis hate Iran, who is in bed with Qatar, as they both heavily fund Hamas. Meanwhile, Israel has forged ahead full scale now into Gaza City with high hopes of finding the hostages who are being used for human shields, I'm told, and some are still kept in tunnels.
Sadly, this elongated war is causing much division.
Yes, and not only within Israel, but also among most nations. The Netherlands and Ireland are threatening to boycott Eurovision's yearly song competition, which could pave the way for similar actions in other world events. But right now, numerous countries are already shunning Israel and refusing to buy its goods.
And the long-standing peace with Jordan and Egypt could be in danger.
Yes, as well, last week's UN recognition of a Palestinian state by 143 countries, which could harm the Abraham Accords, which is already hanging on by a thread. But this vote can also force the UN to make Palestine a member, and therefore make it easier to impose sanctions on Israel.
And all the while, Israel continues to bomb and take down buildings.
Yes, as well, taking down more terrorists, while hoping more civilians will get out of harm's way, in spite of Hamas threatening them in Gaza with violence when they try to leave the city. Israel is conducting ground maneuvers on three different sides of the city. And the United States, thank goodness, is still standing with Israel, stating, no ceasefire till all the hostages are released and Hamas surrenders.
So only God knows how long this war continues.
Well, there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Okay. So says Ecclesiastes 3. And by the way, Putin's still pounding Ukraine, and the Houthis in Yemen is still trying to attack Israel, but not since Saturday, as that last was intercepted.
Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can access any of our past programs, letters, and added teachings.
Okay, last week we covered the 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur called the Days of Awe.
It's the final days of Teshuvah.
Yes, when a closer walk with their Creator is expected.
It's also a typology of the coming tribulation.
For sure. Those left behind must accept Yeshua as their Savior before He returns to earth in 7 years at the closing of the gates, called the Nilah. And as we already stated, today and tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah on the Essene calendar. And Rosh Hashanah is next Tuesday and Wednesday on the Hebrew calendar.
Well, I wonder if we'll be here to even do the program next week.
Well, we can only hope. Before we get into the common phrases and idioms of Yom Kippur, we also want to mention about their purely defensive war that happened 52 years ago on Yom Kippur in 1973, when Israel was attacked by its northern and southern neighbors, Egypt and Syria.
Jordan, its neighbor on the east, wisely stayed neutral.
Mm-hmm. So Syria really wanted the highly strategic area of the Golan Heights, which they have never been able to conquer. And Egypt wanted all of the Sinai, which they also did not conquer. However, 5 years later, Israel's Prime Minister Menachem Begin did agree to relinquish the Upper Peninsula of the Sinai in the famous Camp David Accords with Anwar Sadat for a secured future peace, which openly holds pretty true today, even though they allow the transfer of arms for Hamas through the Rafah Gate into Gaza. If Israel wouldn't have relinquished that area, there would be a place for the Palestinians to go to today, while that war in Gaza continues. But Egypt won't budge, even putting up two parallel walls.
What did what did Israel get in return from Sadat?
Nothing.
What about?
Just an agreement of peace with a declaration having the right for Israel to exist.
Yeah, go figure. You know, Carter was the negotiator.
Yes, he was. Israel should have gotten a better deal. By the way, there is a good movie about the Yom Kippur War and their famous prime minister prior to Menachem Begin. The movie is named simply Golda, for Golda Meir. By the way, it took a while, but eventually Jordan entered a peace agreement with Israel as well in 1994 under Clinton, who was also president, who brokered the Oslo Accords in 1993 with Yasser Arafat.
Yeah, that worked for a while.
Well, until an intifada broke out in the year 2000, still while Clinton was in his last year of presidency.
Okay, you know, let's take another look at some names for Yom Kippur.
Yes, we saw last week that they call it the fast for the obvious reason of their 24 hours of fasting, which the Bible describes as being an affliction to the body.
Well, you know, another idiom is face to face.
As when all eyes will see him when he returns face to face. You know, Paul used that expression in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, and also by Moses, as he was the first to reveal that he talked with God face to face, which doesn't have to mean eyeball to eyeball, just in person, as being in the same area.
Right. Moses was in God's presence.
Exodus 33 uses the term face-to-face, even though it was God's back. This is our clue that it was on Yom Kippur, a fact not realized till later due to the high priest who could by law only enter into the Holy of Holies on a Yom Kippur. So that was only once a year, and even with all the smoke, was considered as seeing God face to face.
Well, you know, it really means in God's presence.
Yes. So Yom Kippur took on the phrase face to face. And another huge clue for our understanding.
Definitely that a gold nugget that Paul later would give us.
Right. Paul's telling us the exact day Jesus, and remember we'll be with him, will return at the end of the tribulation, the second coming.
On a Yom Kippur, which complements Matthew 24:31.
That we talked about last week, and it surely does. But even more so, knowing that bit of information connects the dots for us as to when the tribulation begins, because Revelation 12, verse 6 gives us the exact number of days of the tribulation. So going backwards 2,520 days, or you could say 1,260 day times 2, takes us back to Yom Kippur,
when that Daniel 9:27 agreement is signed.
Yes, Yom Kippur falls on Tishri 10, and this year on our calendar is October 1st at sundown till October 2nd at sundown. Everything fits like a glove. That is why, and we'll say it again, some knowledge of our Hebraic roots is needed to properly interpret eschatology, and why we must study the details of these appointments with their certain phrases as great clues or mysteries hidden for us to find.
Proverbs 25, verse 2.
Let me say, Paul knew he was sharing nuggets for the future remnant,
like he did with the last trump, referring to Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, for the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15:52. Besides all that, Jesus must return on a Yom Kippur so to keep the sixth appointment out of seven that God made with man way back in Leviticus 23.
And then there's only one left, the Feast of Tabernacles.
When Jesus, and also his earthly birthday, which is October 7th this year, ushers in the millennial kingdom that, if we are still here, we're going to look at next week. But remember, and this is important, God organized all these detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with certain definite customs using particular phrases that Jesus, who was Jewish, would use to give us huge clues, so to learn how it will be with us today.
The last days generation,
as confirmed by Paul in Romans 15:4, that says,
for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
Okay, let's read Leviticus 23, verse 27.
Also, the 10th day of this 7th month,
that's Tishri 10,
shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God.
And also verse 32.
It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath.
This Hebrew word here used for Sabbath is Shabbaton, meaning not likely a Saturday, but an extra Sabbath, like an extra holy day of rest.
So, Yom Kippur also goes by the Day of Atonement,
as Moses said in Exodus 32, verse 30.
I go to make atonement for the people,
because of their grievous sin of making the golden calf. And by doing some detailed math, we know that Moses returned with the new tablets at the end of Teshuvah.
On Yom Kippur.
Yes. So do you see it? Moses was a prototype of Jesus returning on a Yom Kippur with his new covenant. It's just so amazing to see when these so many dots connect. And, you know, Joel 2:15 uses Yom Kippur terminology as well.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a feast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. You know, that matches Isaiah 26:20.
It does, when speaking of the resurrection / rapture, that could be just around the corner. I think maybe you should read that.
Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain.
Yes, Yom Kippur, as we already mentioned, has yet another descriptive title. We'll say it again, called the Nilah.
The closing of heaven's gates.
That were opened on Rosh Hashanah. You can read that in Isaiah 26, verse 2. And let's also confirm that in Psalm 118, verse 19.
Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord.
And still another name is?
Day of Judgment.
And that would be to the goats, meaning the unrighteous on his left side. Matthew 25:33. Today, still the unrighteous are referred to as the lefties.
Yom Kippur, you know, it's also called the Day of Redemption.
It is for the sheep, the righteous, who will be placed on his right side. And again, still today, it's amazing how we are referred to as being on the right. We are righties. Honey, please read Leviticus 16, verse 21.
Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the scapegoat.
Now in Hebrew, that's Azazel.
And shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man.
Now according to the writings of Enoch, and which were discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, Azazel was the name of one of the leaders of the fallen angels who descended on Mount Hermon, which remained a gathering place of demonic gods from ancient days. And where Jesus probably was pointing to these caves in Mount Hermon to the god named Pan, proclaimed in Matthew 16:18.
That the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church.
Amen to that. This fallen angel named Azazel specifically taught men the art of warfare, of making swords, knives, shields, and armor, and women the art of ornamenting the body and painting the face. And Azazel revealed the secrets of witchcraft, leading them into wickedness and impurity, until at last he was, at the Lord's command, bound hand and foot by an archangel and chained to the jagged rocks of Tartarus, where he is to abide in utter darkness until the tribulation, that great day of judgment, when they are all released upon the earth. You can read that in Jude 6, 2 Peter 2:4, Revelation 9, and Isaiah 26. But will, at the end, finally be cast into the fire forever. And according to the Mishnah written in 200 A.D., which is a commentary on the Torah, along with the historian Josephus, a red sash was tied to a scapegoat named Azazel, led out to the wilderness where the sash was then placed on a nearby rock. After the goat was pushed over the cliff, the red sash would turn white, showing their sins were atoned for. They would then wave it as they ran back to the temple and tied it to the front door. The Mishnah also states, around 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the sash stopped turning white. Why? Because Jesus' death could now atone for them, which is why the temple was destroyed, no longer needed. And we'll be back here next week. If we don't meet you in the air, I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Shalom, Jerusalem. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.